This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming production or Deborah Harkness. All views expressed are solely our own.
It begins with absence and desire. It begins with blood and fear. It begins with the discovery of witches.
Welcome to episode 21 of the All Souls podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer.
Hello, All Souls Trilogy fans. You are in for a treat. This episode is the one where we'll be sharing the interviews that I, Ginger, was able to get while I was in the UK for the A Discovery of Witches premiere. And we wanted to make sure that we got these out before the show was aired widely. That is, of course, this coming Friday, September 14th. And getting back late-ish Saturday night and dealing with some jet lag, and also, you know, returning to my full-time job, I've finally been able to get these together and rip the audio, and prep these for you. And the videos will be up very soon. We are going to get the videos up probably on our YouTube channel before the Sky One UK premiere. So sit back, relax, and enjoy these little snippets from the UK premiere of A Discovery of Witches.
Hey!
How are you doing, darling?
So well.
Welcome to Wales.
Welcome.
Oh, first time. First time in Wales?
Yes, first time in Wales, first time in Cardiff. Just wanted to say hi and...
Hello!
What is this like for you? I know you have like 2 seconds.
It's surreal! It's really wonderful. It's so exciting. It's so great to see the cast and members of the publishing team and friends and moderators of the fan group. So it's like a big, happy family celebration. So really fun to
be here. As we tweeted earlier tonight, thank you so much, because I know this is much bigger than just you, just one person. However, it is because of you. So thank you so much for helping bring such a wonderful message.
But it's totally a team effort. I'm looking over, I see members of the crew over here. It's just a real family affair. So
well,
really
thank you
excited.
So much.
Thank you.
Look forward to the premiere. And so she's
Tell me, absolutely.
Yeah, so hi. I'm Ginger from the All Souls podcast.
Oh,
absolutely
awesome.
Thrilled to finally be able to chat with the demon.
Oh,
my goodness.
I know.
So, tell us. We know Diana's favorite snack is toast.
Yes.
We know the vampires go for blood.
Yeah.
What is yours? Your character's favorite snack?
I don't know. It depends how you define snack, but for Hamish it would have to be whiskey, wouldn't it? So, can I have a whiskey snack?
Sure. Let's say, okay, whiskey along with whatever.
Yeah. Well, whiskey along with a bit of tablet or something like that, a bit of fudge, I think, you know, just to keep the sugar going and the inspiration and things to fuel all these synapses and ideas that Hamish continually has.
So I have to ask, what about haggis?
I think Hamish is a fan of haggis. Every true Scotsman is a fan of haggis. No, I actually love haggis, but yeah, I suppose he could go for haggis. I mean, there is an imagery, obviously, of course, with Hamish that it could be a bottle of Iron Brew and a massive haggis and chips.
That sounds just about perfect.
Okay.
And one word to describe your character.
Creative, but it doesn't sound big enough.
It's
exceptionally
okay.
Creative, but I know that's two words.
Could you say wine? Fans who have read the books know exactly
yes.
what you're referring to, but someone who hasn't read the books and they're coming to the show, tell them, without giving spoilers, why... That's really hard, huh? Why is he so creative? What makes him so creative? Besides being a demon, maybe.
What makes him so creative, I think, is just the fact he's been born with a different mindset, a different set of skills, and in terms of the demon set of skills, they're really in his mind. He's the financial whiz of London. He's Matthew's mentor, which takes a lot of thinking and a lot of control and
patience.
And patience. And he's the sounding board to some of Matthew's impulses that Hamish has to kind of be careful with him as well, so that he has to have a lot of ideas flowing and control flowing all at the same time. So And also, Hamish has got his own issues and insecurities, just as Matthew has, and as... I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, he has his own journey, you're saying.
It's not just,
he's Matthew's friend. He's got a lot going on, too.
He's got a lot going on and a lot of responsibility, and that makes for a lot of fun as an actor getting to play that. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Not at all, Ginger. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Great. Yes.
Agatha.
It's me. Tanya.
Agatha.
What are you thinking? Hey, can I get you just in front of right here?
Okay, so I'm here.
Perfect. Very good. Excellent. So, hello, Tanya Moody.
Hi. Nice to meet
How are you?
It's
so exciting. I'm Ginger from the All Souls podcast.
Could Ginger? You
yeah, I'm not Ginger, but I am Ginger. Thank you
That's
so much.
Beautiful.
Could you say a quick hello to the listeners of the All Souls podcast?
Hello, listeners of the All Souls podcast.
I know, right? It's a little bit
it's
of a mouthful. It is.
Delta,
so, one word to describe your character. As a demon, of course. I love it. I love it. Elaborate just a tiny bit on why, without giving spoilers and all of that. Because readers will know. Readers will know the fabulousness.
Well, the thing is, I think if you know demons, if you're a demon yourself, or you're a demon fan, then you understand our inner life. And I think, I mean, I did a lot of work on creating the inner life of Agatha and who I was and why I was and what my unique abilities were. And for me, Agatha has a wealth of compassion and wisdom and expansiveness that I can only dream of having all the time, you know? And I think she's just so skilled and capable. And yeah.
And I asked our Hamish, I said, we know Diana's favorite snack is toast.
Yeah.
We know that vampires go gaga for blood.
Yeah.
What is your character's favorite snack?
That's interesting. I would say, I don't know if my mate, Greg, the other demon, would agree, but I would say demons more go on what they don't like as opposed to what they like. I think witches and vampires have a natural hunger, whereas I think demons have a kind of... particularness. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say pickiness, but it's not just that. So I could name loads of things that I don't like, and they probably change as well from year to year. And it could be anything. It could be the colour. Mm-hmm. It could be the texture. It could be whatever. It could be how it goes with the rest of our house or whatever. Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And
Agatha hates eggs.
Oh, well, that's a very good one. That's a very good example.
Thank you again. Another demon's arrived.
Oh,
that's
fabulous.
How they greet each other.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, free woman.
Oh, we got something.
Well, thank you.
Oh,
yes,
you stop. Can I do something?
Yeah. Hi, Aisha.
Lovely to meet you.
Is it Aisha or Aisha?
It's Aisha. Common mistake.
So, I thought so. Hi.
Hello.
I am Ginger from the All Souls podcast, one of the hosts.
Lovely to meet you, Ginger.
And so lovely to meet you.
You probably know a lot more about this than I do.
Oh, Lord. I think probably, maybe. Oh, well.
We need you on set.
Oh, God.
Can you be my go-to? And I can just be
you need to talk to somebody. Like,
yeah,
how do we make that happen?
Ginger, you are that person.
Oh, Lord. So, let me ask.
Okay.
What is one word to describe your character?
That's a lot. It's many things. Nuance.
Huh. I like it. Talk to us about that nuance.
So, she's obviously very old. She's super intelligent, very direct. And I think on the outside, she has a shell of like being quite hard and cold. But on the inside, she's very sort of extremely loyal, extremely caring and loving and sensitive. But that's all guarded with a hard exterior. She's very... discerning. But once she gets to know you and she trusts you.
Now, would you agree with the statement that she doesn't take crap from people?
Oh, absolutely. She doesn't take any crap. She's completely direct.
Even
from Matthew, yeah.
Exactly. I didn't want to say it, but thank you.
She's in control.
Uh-huh.
In my humble opinion.
Oh, no. I think Deb would agree.
Yeah.
She's in control over her...
Me and Deb have chats.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. So, going forward, if you've read past book one, are you looking forward to the journey of Miriam?
or to bringing us more of Miriam?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly gonna, she certainly goes on a journey that's very different to how you know her in what will be series one and the first book. And she goes into a direction, I'm trying to be very vague about this.
I know, I'm so sorry.
And secretive.
Yes.
But she goes into a realm you don't expect her to go into.
Wonderful.
Emotionally.
Okay, with that, do you think, let's keep series one. Have you done anything, again, without changing the character of what you wanted to bring?
Yeah.
Have you done anything to show, not a softer side of her, but to make her not just this hard character, if you will?
It's definitely something that I've always had in mind, particularly being aware of her past and what's happened. And I certainly believe that what's happened to her informs the person that she is. And then again, the big change that's about to happen as we go through the story.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Aisha. It was so nice to meet you. And we'll talk soon.
We will. I've got to write a list of
questions. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Ginger.
Hi.
I'm with the All Souls podcast.
Great.
I just wanted to say again, we were one of the lucky ones in Philadelphia to be able to preview the episode, and I'm so excited to be able to be here. So, what? Tell us, screenwriter, correct?
Sorry?
Screenwriter, correct?
Yes,
yes, Kate. Tell us about challenges. And I know you work with the team. I know you had Deb's ear whenever
absolutely.
You needed to.
Absolutely.
But what was the, to you, the unique challenge or challenges and the amazing bright spots of adapting such a story as Deb's?
Okay, well, I'll start with the bright spots because there were so many of them. I mean, the reason why I decided to adapt it was I think it's so rare that you come across original material which feels totally unique. Mm-hmm. And for me, just the actual concept of someone opening a book in a library and that book just unleashing kind of this magic, and it being the Bodleian Library, which is this staid, fusty British library, is just such a wonderful idea. So I love that high concept, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also love the relatability of all of Deb's characters, because mm-hmm. though they are vampires and demons and witches, they all feel incredibly real and grounded as well.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the example of, I guess, Diana and Matthew, there's a kind of epic love story, and the obstacles that they are having to confront are the congregation and the fact they're different species. And these are kind of, as I say, really high concept ideas, and yet at the same time, there's wonderful, very easily adaptable things like she has to go and meet the mother-in-law. She has to go to sort of those sort of very real. So they work on two levels,
mm-hmm.
and that felt very very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, I guess those were the high spots. I think the challenges were that it's obviously a massive world, and getting that world onto screen and making it feel truthful to Deb's books, as well as adding my own truth to it, was a challenge. I think that we've also, in a way, made our life harder because we... In the books, obviously, it's basically from Diana's perspective. And we had decided that we needed to open the world up even more and to give Matthew 50% POV, Diana 50% POV. And also, there's characters that in the books Diana meets as she goes along, like Satu, who, you know, flies in and you've never met her before. And in a book, that works fantastically because then you can go into who she is within that moment. Obviously, in a screenplay, that's harder because you actually need to back up. We decided we were going to give those characters life before they meet Diana. So you will see, and you saw in episode one, that actually we present Saturn much earlier on in the story than the book does.
Let me do. It was stunning. It was shocking and stunning. And similarly, as well with Owen Teal.
Yes.
As you bring him, we meet him a little bit, but we see the moment on his face that Deb and others have described of when he hears that name.
Yes.
And that is a great slight backstory for bringing him in.
It's bringing all those characters' backstory, bringing them into front story, which I think really does sort of does justice to Deb's imagination. However, it means that there's not much space. We struggle with it. Every episode, we ended up having to cut back. You know, we ended up with sort of, I think the first episode was 10 pages on the wow. But we kind of worked out gradually how to do it. So I think we introduce things very slowly. So you get Satu in episode one, but then in episode two, we introduce the Venice vampires.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we see them. Episode four, we go and we discover the congregation. So we're gradually opening up these worlds.
Okay.
That in the book, you don't see. Mm-hmm. You do them slowly enough, I hope, that they feel grounded. You know, it was a challenge,
absolutely.
But the stories they're all so wonderful, these characters. You just
how do you
do,
not? How do you choose? How do you not do everyone, right?
You just want to do all of them.
Exactly.
And you want to give them all a huge amount of space.
Yeah.
And I think the other challenge was having given them all sort of new stories,
mm-hmm.
it was then how to pay them all at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. But it's true. So by bringing in such blessing, you're also having to, like, how do we deal with this at the end?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that felt like a kind of a big challenge.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Okay. It was so nice to meet you, Ms.
Very
Brooke.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Hi,
hello.
Tristan Gravel.
Yes, that's right.
Hi, Tristan. I'm Ginger.
Hello, lovely
I'm
to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Love your work on Suffrages.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank
so,
you.
No, you're so. Thank you. I'm Ginger. I'm host of the All Souls, one of the hosts of the All Souls podcast.
Oh yes,
and
I
here
you on Twitter.
Yes, you yes, do. Yes. I saw that. Yes, so thank you again. Can you say a quick hi to the All Souls listeners?
Absolutely, yes. Hello to everybody, all the All Souls listeners there. Hello, nice to meet you all.
And Vampire Baldwin.
Yes.
So one word to describe your character.
Ambiguous.
Very good. Very good. Tell me why ambiguous.
I think there are certain things, you know, you can look at him and you can go, oh God, you're a piece of work, you are. And, you know, given his history and everything, you know, I should imagine a lot of people have read about his history and stuff. And then you see maybe some of his actions and you go, you take them in context and you go, okay then, all right then, well, we don't know where we stand with you. So I think it's all up for grabs, I think, you know, it's all up in the air with him.
So maybe not love-hate, but maybe love-hate with some fans of the books or of a Baldwin.
I'm sure there'll be people who love him, people who hate him. You know,
yeah.
I think he'll definitely be Marmite, I think.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, so we know that Diana's favorite snack is toast. And we know that vampires go gaga for blood. And you're a vampire. But other than blood, what would you say Baldwin's favorite snack would be?
It's got to be liver patty on a bit of rye bread. That's what I reckon is with Baldwin.
Why does that sound so perfect? It sounds so Baldwin. A little bit of soft, a little bit of hard, a crunch.
I think it's got to be something like pate, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. I think so.
And he would probably know where the animals were raised.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, he would know the history. He would just know everything that went into everything.
Oh yeah, he's
and
got
he would
his
have
own
opinions.
Little zoo, his own little private zoo that he
and
goes
opinions
to
of every step and everything.
And who says they're animals anyway? You know
oh
I mean?
Lord,
yeah, yeah.
There we go. And there's Baldwin for you. Oh my gosh. Well, I have to ask one thing to kind of get a little background. If you can cheat and give us this, which character has the best wardrobe?
Oh no, then do you know what? I think I do.
I was in my element. I was going to say that.
He doesn't want to walk around in these suits and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
The walking ego, yeah. No, I think I definitely have, yeah.
Maybe one of them walked off set and never came back and ended up in your closet, or no?
There's a possibility.
Maybe
there's,
no.
there's a distinct possibility, probability that happened, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay, then. So, how many suits are we talking about? Not that you took or didn't take. Not that you didn't take. Baldwin suits. Are we talking like?
No. We're not talking about a suit. Maybe a tie or something.
No, yeah, but speaking of his wardrobe, like.
Oh, if I could get away with it, I'd take them all.
You'd take them all. Oh,
I would take them all if I could
classy.
Get away with it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we look forward to seeing the best wardrobe. We look forward to seeing the best wardrobe on Baldwin.
Thank you for telling
us this behind the scenes. This is the best. Thank you so much, Tristan.
Cheers, Ginger.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Take care.
See you all.
Thank you.
Hi.
How are you? I'm well. Hi, I'm Ginger with the All Souls podcast. We met at
Supercon.
Oh my goodness. Long time no see.
I know. So
it looked like your trips, a little personal here, but not too personal. Yes. Your trip to Bali was amazing. Whatever you shared with
amazing
us. Thank you.
Yes.
Do you want to go back?
100%. Well, I am going back. I'm
oh, you
going
are going back
in 2 days. Yeah, my
Holy
son's
Moses
going to school over there.
Oh, how fantastic. It's so you've like, you're making a life there.
We are. This is going to be another place that we're going to be hanging out for a
very
long
cool
time.
Yeah. Very cool. It's awesome. Not only your ethos, but also how you are, this is me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, how you're exposing your family to,
different,
you know, to
cultures,
different cultures.
100%.
And the importance of knowing you're different, but that different is good and different is
yeah,
okay.
It's beautiful and to be embraced.
And actually reflects
all
souls.
Show.
Yes,
I
right?
Know,
so,
know.
We know that Diana's favorite snack is toast.
Yeah.
Okay. But, what's your favorite snack?
Smashed avocado.
Oh, Lord.
So, it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a smashed avocado probably every day of my life.
And with anything on it, like salt and Himalayan salt,
like
anything?
This morning, for instance, my son, Forrest, and I, we woke up really early because we're still on Indonesian time. We ordered smashed avo with dukka on top and roasted tomatoes. Perfect.
Oh my goodness.
Sounds delicious.
Okay, so describe your character. I know the fans all know about Diana, but describe your character in one word.
Oh gosh, one word. That's so hard for me. I'm just going to go with strength. She is the epitome of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, isn't really one word, but the strength in the way that, like, she also embraces her vulnerabilities and insecurities and she uses them and in such a positive way. And so I just think she is the epitome of strength.
And who do you think has the best wardrobe? Which character has the best wardrobe?
Aisha's character, Aisha Hart.
Oh,
she has.
We're getting different answers now.
Really?
Maybe it's, yeah.
Who else has been
Tristan
said?
Tristan said it was Baldwin.
Baldwin? No way.
Oh.
Oh,
yes,
of
course you did. Hi, Mr.
Hi.
Okay,
hi.
I'm going.
Hi.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much, Teresa. Hi. Okay, so I think you play Matthew de Clermont, just maybe.
It's not de Clermont, it's Clermont.
Oh, sorry. For right now, yes.
What is it, de Clermont?
No. It's in England, it's Clermont. You're right. No, you're right. You're like, oh my god, my character.
Hang on.
No. No. Here, I can go up a little bit too. So, I am Ginger, as
Ginger,
I always shake your hand, I'm
you
sorry, from
That's
the All
fine
Souls podcast.
Okay.
So great to meet you. And your character in one word.
Mysterious.
I think you could close it down now. No, I mean that's if there were a picture of Matthew in a dictionary, it would be, or under for mysterious, it would be Matthew Clermont. So
yeah,
that's very good. Okay, not that I'm quizzing. I mean, thank you for such a wonderful answer.
That's
so, what can you say without giving spoilers?
Yeah.
What can you say that feeds that mystery? Why is he mysterious?
He's had a hell of a life. I mean, he's been around for 1,500 years as we meet him. So he started off as a mason and a carpenter, and then his wife and his child died, and then he was saved by Isabeau, and then, you know, then he became a warrior and a doctor, and now he's a geneticist trying to save the creatures because they're all diminishing in power. So he's had a lot on his plate, but he's also been quite, he's spent a lot, he's quite a solitary figure. And there's a lot of his history that we don't really know yet. In book one, we start to understand, in book two and book three. So bloodlust becomes quite important. As does the demon, as does the demon.
So we know that vampires go gaga for blood. I mean,
don't like witches.
Of course, and don't like witches. And we know that Diana's favorite snack is toast. What is Matthew's favorite snack?
Well, a little bit of...
That's not blood.
Deer carpaccio and some nuts.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
That sounds about perfect
walnuts
for Matthew. Walnuts. Okay, and... And which character has the best wardrobe?
Best wardrobe?
Yes.
Good question. I would say that the best wardrobe is probably Trevor Eve.
Really? That's...
Yeah. Although, saying that, also Ellerica has some pretty great outfits. Ellerica Johnson.
That's the third answer we've gotten.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but then she is a sensational figure, so that's probably one of the reasons. She's a clothes horse.
Yeah.
Model
yeah
by trade.
Yeah, she's. They're all visually stunning, but she's crazy beautiful.
Oh, she's crazy beautiful,
yeah,
but just so lovely.
Yeah.
She's had a hell of a life story. She's one of the, like, a real life success.
Thank you.
So
and that's
that
okay. Absolutely.
You.
Thank you so much, Mr. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Thank you for coming all this way.
Oh, my goodness. And, my absolute pleasure. If you could give us one word to describe your character.
Fiery?
Explain fiery.
So Sarah Bishop is Diana Bishop's aunt, and she has raised Diana after her parents were killed. And Sarah is fiercely protective of Diana. And I think she's a bit frustrated that her beloved niece really isn't interested in continuing the line of honouring what they are, which is witches. They go all the way back to Salem, Massachusetts. Sarah is sort of like the keeper of spells, and she knows the history and the origin of spells, and she has this enormous spell book, but she doesn't actually really practice spells. She is quite happy hiding in plain sight, making soaps and body lotions, and, you know, to sell in farmers' markets, candles, all those sorts of things. Whereas her partner, her wife, is the one who will scry and will actually still use her magic. So I think Sarah is blunt. I think the fieriness comes from her frustrations, really. Her frustrations with her niece. As I said, because she doesn't feel that Diana is really just... it's not even respecting, because she does respect their past and who they are as a family, but it's the frustration that she doesn't want anything to do with it. But I think also that sort of that the volatility in their relationship ultimately always comes from deep love and deep care for Diana.
A little lighter, we know that Diana's favorite snack is toast from Deb.
Right.
And the vampires go god awful blood, of course. What is Sarah Bishop's favorite snack?
Whiskey.
That's what Greg said.
Sarah likes a whiskey.
And how does she like it?
Straight.
Oh, yeah. Can I get a fist bump? Yep, me too. Very, very good. Okay.
But I did something, I tell you what I did do when we were filming, and it was something that I decided to do with Valerie, because in Deborah's books, you know, she describes how Matthew smells Diana, what notes he gets from Diana, mm-hmm. and she also will describe what he smells like. And so in very early on, it was literally like the first few days we started filming, Valerie and I had a day off, and so we went to, I don't know that I can say Neil's Yard. Can I say Neil's Yard? Am I advertising if I say Neil's Yard?
We are not for profit, so okay. We're not, okay. We don't have sponsors.
We went to Neil's Yard, and we basically concocted the essence of everyone's smell. And tried to get as many of the notes that Debs writes in the book for the characters. And so I then, I gave, so we made this bottle. So basically, we were creating magic potions. It's fabulous.
You were practicing.
We were practicing. Yeah, so we had the bottle. We had the bottle for Teresa, and we had the bottle for Matthew. And then I was wearing, and I'd sort of done this even before, and I think that's how it came about, because I was wearing, for Sarah, fennel. I was just wearing, like, it was the smell of fennel and aniseed. That was Sarah for me. And Valerie, so M, was much more citrusy, like grapefruit, sort of. That was her scent. But it was fantastic, because then whenever, it's sort of like whenever you were on set, I could smell Valerie. It was like I could smell her aura, which is what they're supposed to be able to do. And it was just like an added texture when we were working on set. I don't think Matthew wore his ever.
But you did.
Yeah. And his, I actually thought his smelled the best.
Feminine clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
What a unique, not only, it's a sweet little gift to give the cast, of course, but what a unique and character-centered gift.
Yeah.
What stays with me most is not just your generosity and your thinking and your character, but also the fact that when they're gone, you still have their presence there.
Yes, exactly.
My goodness.
But also, you can sense them because you can smell them.
Yes.
And each one is particular, and I just wanted to experience what they can experience as creatures, so I thought that was the best way to do it. So it was really fun. It was really fun.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Malin, I'm Ginger.
Hi, Ginger.
I'm with the All Souls Podcast. Thank you so much for agreeing to sit for a few minutes.
Thank you
for having me. It's our absolute pleasure. So, this is going to be mostly light, but since you play Satu, it might get kind of dark. Who knows? Because Satu is Satu. So, in one word, what is one word to represent your character?
That's really, really difficult to say. Because I try to think of like one word that would describe her, but I can't really because she's so complex. And it could be like evil, and it could be if people are just looking at her like that, it's like, okay, this is a fucking evil person. But then there are so many layers, and why is she like that? She has been isolated from the world for a long time because of her power. And what does that do to a person? So I think I can't. She has so many soft spots as well. So I can't really describe her.
Tell us about her soft spots.
She's very vulnerable when she finds connection, which she does in the series sometimes, or maybe one time or two or three or one. I don't know. But when she does, I think she's also very
Satu's bad side.
I think a lot of people have it inside them. No, definitely not. No.
Just what we saw in this.
No. I don't think so.
So we know from the book, and it's hinted at quite, it's there in the series, that Diana's favorite snack is toast. And vampires go gaga for blood. What is Satu's favorite snack?
Meat. Definitely. Quite raw. Yeah. If we're gonna take it in French terms.
Wow. So what? I mean, that's actually quite. That speaks
Satu. That speaks Satu.
Yeah.
So who do you think, which character, has the best wardrobe?
Yes.
Yeah, in the Wizard of Oz.
There you go.
I mean, die!
Ginger from the All Souls Podcast.
I know
you might be. Hey, could you say hi to our listeners? Say hey. Okay, so one word to describe Jillian Chambers.
Chamberlain.
Oh my god.
It's fine. That's it, that's my word.
We're done.
Chamberlain.
Great word. And I'm the one who hasn't even drunk yet. So that's not.
I
did.
It's good.
I know.
You're like the encyclopedia.
She's
had a long day.
Definitely not encyclopedia, but still, jet lag.
I insist you leave this in.
I will leave. Okay.
I will leave this in. Thanks.
I will leave all that in.
Okay, great. So, one word to describe Jillian.
One word to describe
Lynn.
Jillian Chamberlain.
Ginger.
Well, that is actually very true.
That's the word.
Okay, so tell us all the shades of that ginger. What besides the hair? What describe how you approach Jillian? What I mean, besides obviously saying, oh, she's a witch, she does this, this is her arc or this is her journey. What did you want to bring specifically to the adaptation that the viewer sees and feels from Jillian?
Well, I was most interested, and it's pretty much what I try to do always, rather than being something off the bat specific, and that is just to make her a human being. Like I think everyone's complex and multifaceted, and it's not my core which facet is under the microscope, but yeah, I wanted to explore the fact that this is, spoiler alert, a woman who, you know, on paper betrays her friend. But I was less interested, I think, in the whole idea of her being super ambitious. She is ambitious. She is frustrated in her work. I was less interested in that as a sort of trope as I was in her having that as part of her, whether conscious or unconscious, but actually wanting to save her friend, to rescue her friend. I think Jillian's beliefs in the sort of orthodoxy of, you know, being witch and what that means and what it should mean, I think that's a bit paramount for her, and I think that she thinks that's the way to help her friend, and I think she's very conflicted.
Which character between all of the ones that you've seen, has the best wardrobe.
Best wardrobe?
Yes.
That's very good. So, I really do like my wardrobe. Coat, Diana's coat, I'm sure, but it's sort of like having a coat so you can really go for it in real life. Now, I've only seen that one. So, and obviously, I've seen other characters, but when you're not in the same scenes with them, you don't get to see them. You see them on a rail.
Characters. Mm-hmm. That's the fact that that's all that matters.
Yes.
Is so important to Dev, so important to production, so important to you guys, and not just that, it's just the story.
Yeah.
The Kid and Caboodle story. Why was it important? How was it important to you to bring that even more forward?
Well, I just remember when I auditioned for it and read the sides. I didn't even read the script. I just read the sides, and immediately the humanity of this character. Just touched something in my soul, and it was easy when I get a script and it's easy to memorize words and I have a visceral immediate reaction. I know that this is close to my heart, and it was just close to my heart. I mean, Deborah can write her butt off, and Kate, you know, adapting it as well. And so it was her humanity, her heart, her empathy, her openness, her willing to, you know, accept. You know, and try to make, you know, a little bit of place and change some minds along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and then having such an incredible partner as Sarah, who is a pillar of strength, who, you know, is her ride and die chick, who, you know, who she feels safe with, because she knows that Sarah doesn't take any mess, you know, and just such a strong and beautiful, and with such a beautiful heart that she has.
Very true. Now, this may be a challenge, and it's meant to be.
Okay.
But tell us M. Encapsulate her in one word.
Oh. Wow. Heart.
That basically, you're gonna make me like tear up. Oh my god. That's, now, you kind of actually already spoke to that.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us about her heart. How does she display that? How does she display her heart? Or how have you brought that to the camera, to the adaptation? What was important to you about that?
Well, you know, depending on what scene that was being shot that day, or the scenes that ended up in the 8 episodes, you know, from the book. And of course, you can't tell every story in the book, but from those scenes, what I tried to do is show what her role is in this relationship, what her relationship with Diana is, as opposed to what Sarah's relationship. When we both love her, but we approach her in a different way, especially since Diana has always been so reluctant to, you know, realize her powers. There's stuff that I know. And because of my heart is so open. And also because I'm a scryer, I see things, I know things. You know what I mean? I see the future. So each scene, I try to bring all that and lead with my heart. All my scenes lead with my heart. And you know, sometimes it gets you in trouble. And sometimes it gets right on time.
Can you tell, without spoiling, can you tell us about one of the times it was right on time, right on time?
Let's see. You know what? I know specifically, but I can't say it.
That's fair. Is there something you can tell us where you led with your heart and it maybe wasn't the way it ended up?
Can't say it.
You can't say it.
Yeah, well, I'm just gonna spoil, some stuff.
It's okay.
It really is. And I can't wait for that, you know, those scenes to happen.
And we can't.
But you'll see it. You'll know exactly when it happens. You know. Yeah.
Okay, so which character has, in your opinion, has the best wardrobe?
Has the best wardrobe? Oh my god.
You know, I was going to say Matthew. I just have to like the way they dressed him.
From what I've seen, or his mother.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Duncan?
Yeah.
Or I mean, Isabel.
Isabel.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'd probably say Isabel first, then Matthew. I love how they're dressed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't seen one of those yet, one of them yet, but yes, just in.
Yeah.
So exciting, so exciting. So Diana's favorite snack is toast. And that's in the book and on screen.
Yes.
And if you're a reader, you saw it. Because if you don't know it, you don't know what to see. You notice.
Yep.
Vampires go gaga for blood.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some wine here and there. What is M's favorite snack?
Oh my god, you know what? I never thought about that. What is M's favorite snack? I'm just gonna say she has a sweet tooth. So,
Is she perhaps one of those aunts, one of those women who loves to, well, like you said, she leads with her heart.
Yeah.
Would she show that through maybe baking?
Yes. Oh yeah, I'm the cook in the family. Oh yeah, I always trying recipes and all kinds of things. And I'm very good at that. That and knitting. So.
Well, that's right, knitting. What would you, snack aside.
Yep.
What is the favorite thing that you have knitted? Or that the M has knitted?
M has knitted, her favorite thing was anything knitting for Sarah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gracious.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to wind it up a little bit.
Okay.
I see you have sporting a slightly new hairdo.
Yes, last time.
Yeah. Is it just a new hairdo, or is it for something you're working on?
It's my own hair. Usually.
Oh, I see.
All my characters that I've been doing for, I guess, for the last, I can't even tell you how many years. I always wear wigs.
Oh, I see.
I change from, you know, of course, we all as actors change from one character to the next, and I always prefer wearing wigs, and that allows me as Valerie to do whatever I want with my hair. So when I was shooting Discovery, my hair was purple.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. In honor of a prince, kind of. And before that it was red. And so this is my new hair color. So it's just because I can.
So we're seeing Valerie tonight.
Yes, you are.
Well,
Yes, you are.
Excellent. Well, yeah. Valerie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For taking the time and for speaking with us again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
Same here, Donna.
Okay.
So that was, those were highlights of the premiere in Cardiff. Our thanks to Deborah Harkness, Bad Wolf, Sky One, and of course the cast and crew of A Discovery of Witches for allowing us to take part in their evening, allowing the All Souls podcast to be part of such an amazing event. And dear listener, we hope you've enjoyed our wee interviews, and we thank you so much for listening.